Yeah. Silverback Chronicles podcast. Your boy Big Ace. I got my brother Dre.
What's good? Jim's over there.
That's it. Now, what's up, baby? How you doing? Muscle Beach, baby.
Triple C. Yo. It's good, baby. All day, every day. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you. We love you. We appreciate you all the time. Please continue to tell a friend to tell a friend. We got a phenomenal guest here tonight. You already know him. But our brother had to come back on. My brother Tavon is back in the building. What's up, baby?
I'm here. They say the third time is a charm.
Always.
I think he's the first person to hit a triple.
Yeah, three-peat.
Listen, man, I'm three-peating like Mike, Scotty, and Rodman in 98.
Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty.
Oh, with the high shorts.
Look, man, I'm humbled to be here. As always with my brother. Like I said, this is not business. This is family. None of this shit is scripted or whatever.
Nope.
We gonna go on the fly how we always do.
Absolutely.
I am humbled and appreciative for being here. Shout out to you two, you three. Super producer motherfucker in the background that y'all don't see, but he's doing all that crazy wild shit. My man, 100 grand super back there. So listen, man, I'm ready here. I'm ready to rock and roll. Had some fun.
I just want to say that everybody be like, where's the merch at? This guy buys it all. First day it drops, my man be like, yo, I need that.
Yes.
Click, click, click. Then.
And then some.
Thank you, though. Thank you for that.
Time suit.
Everything. Sweatshirts, hoodies, caps.
You be in the gym with it.
I be in the gym with it, man.
You be in Bar Mitzvahs with it.
The house, man. Be everywhere.
I heard you was at a Bar Mitzvah with a t-shirt.
Yeah, man. Bar Mitzvah, man. Sweet 16. Graduation send-off, prom send-off. Hey, listen, man. Good material, too. It lasts through everything. Absolutely. Tie, laundry, all of that shit. Downy fabric,
Downy everything.
I got navy blue. I got the black. I got the black cap, the blue cap. And I got the camouflage joint too.
Come on now.
Facts. We're back
all day.
Thank you. Bro. All day. I love my brothers, man.
Love you all, bro.
Definitely. So, bro, what's been going on with life, man? Since we fucking last got up.
And the last time we got up, it was me and Jay. What's happened? My oldest, she is now in the Air Force.
Congratulations!
She's in the Air Force now.
Special forces. How do you feel about that?
I'm proud that she finally got her stuff together. And not only that, she made the decision on her own.
Mm.
And she's loving every step of it. The independence, the nuances of military life. She's loving it to the T. She's down in San Antonio. She's been to New Mexico. She's going to be going to Qatar in a couple of months or whatever. She's loving the military.
Qatar.
Nice. Yes. So she's doing her thing. My middle baby girl, she is 17. She'll be going to the prom in 2 days. She is in her junior year. She's working. She's driving. She's doing her thing, 3.7. My baby girl, 4.0. She's in a Harford County all-band team. She's doing her thing too, man. So, you know, I really can't complain. I can complain about a lot of other bullshit in life. But when it comes to the girls and all of that stuff, it's just the balance, man. So trust me. Trust me. This is why I don't fucking complain, because things are good with them. So
it's amazing.
Kids always come first.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm good, man. So no complaints on either end. How y'all doing, man? How you doing?
Yo, I'm tired, man.
I'm going to interview you. How you doing, Dre? How you feeling?
I'm tired, but you know, we working.
You're working?
Just tired, man. But we working, though. We grinding.
Hey, what's been up with you, man, since I've been over here? How you feeling?
Bro. It's been a rocky 2023 for me.
Yo, yeah. For you.
First and second quarter, it's been tough. But I'm gonna see it through.
There you go.
Third and fourth quarter is
all match at the end of the fourth quarter, right?
That's it.
There we go.
Closing time.
There you go.
It's over.
Yeah, 2023 has been kicking ass.
Yeah. But you know, it's a beautiful thing. Because with life, you just, you know, you go through shit and
always.
You know, you gotta be strong willed and determined to get through it. You know, and there is the other side of the fence.
Bro. It is, man. Storms don't last forever, bro. That's why we appreciate the sun. They do not last forever.
Absolutely.
I'm with you on that. And like I said, you can't call it beforehand. Mm-hmm. You don't know when shit is going to come. You don't know, the curveballs, the fastballs, the screwballs. The fucking life is going to throw you, man. You just got to be ready, and then you got to work your way through it.
One of my favorite quotes is, hard times make hard men. Pause.
Thank you.
Yeah, early on that.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
I don't want to fuck up the quote, but.
Nah, we was with you, man.
You, but yeah.
We with you.
Can
on
we get
that
serious on the quote, though?
Yeah, we. Yeah, no, serious. I'm with you on the quote. 150%.
Absolutely. I mean, you brought it up. I was going to say that. I was going to let it ride. No technical. You good.
Hard times, right? Hard times make hard men.
Right.
Hard men make soft times.
Absolutely.
Soft times make soft men. Soft men make hard times. And that's the rotation. You know what I'm saying?
It is, man. It is. Nothing.
You got to get out there and grind so that the people that come behind us, the family, the you know, they have it a little bit easier.
Who you telling? Who you telling, man? You know? I mean, we grew up in hoods, man, and wasn't shit easy for us. And our kids will never know. Never know the struggle.
That's a fact.
The pain, the ups and the downs, and the shit that we had to go through so they live the life that they live now and have now. You know what I'm saying? They'll never know. And here's the thing. That's the thing that defines us. When they get older, they'll say, my father, X, Y, and Z, even if they don't understand it, or probably to the full degree appreciate it now. They will, when they become adults, and they'll sit back and they'll realize, and they say, my father sacrificed this, that, and the other thing, or they'll understand what an 18-hour day is. They don't understand that now. But they'll understand it when they get older, and they'll appreciate that. Right. And they'll appreciate it through their own experiences dealing with other men, other people, and being more mature and educated about the world, they'll sit back and say, like, damn, what you mean you tired after working one shift for X, Y, and Z? My father did it such and such. That's what it comes, man. Knowledge always comes with it. You can read, you can learn and all that stuff, but life's greatest teacher will always be experience. Always. Boots and that's just what it is, bro. Boots on the ground, 10 toes down. That's how it is, baby. Okay. That's how it is.
Damn.
I mean, in this world today, you gotta get out there and grind. Plus, it's so easy to get it out because nobody's grinding.
Yeah, the workforce is at all.
They talking about four day work weeks,
which I will never understand. And I say that to say, you know, how many? Go ahead, bro.
You know what's gonna happen?
What's that?
Shout out to all immigrants because we all sons of immigrants. Mm-hmm. They're gonna come here and run everything because all they do is work hard.
And why you think that is?
Why
they work so hard and don't complain?
Right, because over there is worse.
It's worse.
Yeah, you come here, you get free enterprise.
The experience that they had again—that's that teacher again with experience. I've had that happen before when I was an officer. I don't know. It was one morning. I was working bigger shift. It was probably 7:15 in the morning. I go to Hoffman and Glenmore, and I had probably worked BPD and JHU and probably got 4 or 5 hours of sleep, whatever. So I went in there dragging ass. And I remember one of the dudes behind the counter, he was working there for a while. He was like, hey, what's wrong with you, Adams? And I said, man, I'm tired. He said, oh, yeah, what you tired from? I said, well, I worked, you know, my head, then I worked in my secondary, and then I had to go home and then get back and say, I haven't been asleep. Because 7-Eleven, 12-hour shifts. Yeah. And then after that, he goes to work, and he was a taxi driver.
Wow.
So he said he did that for 8 hours, went home, took a shower, and came to work, right back to work at 7-Eleven.
How'd you feel when you said that?
Perspective. Again, it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Damn.
So, I mean, I'm telling you, man, sometimes life smacks you in the face with some shit you don't. And you sit back and say, and I thought I was doing something. Yeah. And this is what they say when the immigrants come over, they sit back and say, we have no problem working 12, 16-hour days.
That's
easy. No problem with that. Because at home, we can't do that. There you go.
Right.
So, again, it's always about perspective. And sometimes, well, a lot of times in life, ignorance is bliss, but you only know what you know.
Right.
So.
Speaking about what you know, these two gentlemen, Triple C, are well-versed in boxing.
Man, you know? The sweet science.
What do you know about?
There's a big fight coming on this week. Tank versus Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I said it like this. Tank is a very, very good fighter. He's a very good fighter because he has power. If anybody that doesn't know and follow boxing, power is the equalizer to everything. You can't teach it. You really can't. So for a person that possesses power, like Tyson in his prime, Tyson had power, and he was a monster. Tank has power, doesn't have the greatest defense, and sometimes has issues with him being in shape, going through the shark water. So what Tank plays to, his strengths is his power, and he walks you down. Every fight, if you look at it, Tank could take a lot of punishment because he doesn't really box. He's got a phenomenal jab. He just doesn't utilize it like he should. But I get why he doesn't utilize it, because he's going to walk you down. You're going to get tired, 6th, 7th round, and he's going to put you to sleep with that phenomenal uppercut or the straight left or even the right hook, for crying out loud. Whatever he hits you with, he's going to cause so much damage to you. Equilibrium is going to be curtains. He's going to have problems with Ryan this week. It's not an easy fight. Ryan is the taller fighter. He has the longer reach. And Ryan has the same equalizer Tank has. He's got power in both hands. The reason why I said the fight could be easy for Ryan is because if he utilizes jab, keep Tank at the end of that damn jab, it'd be an easy fight and just outbox him. But Ryan is stubborn. He's young. He wants to use his power and full onslaught. It's going to come down to whatever game plan they come in with, because they both can knock each other out. Ryan doesn't have defense at all. His defense is horrible. And he's not a boxer like that. But he has a great jab when he utilizes it. And anybody can knock each other out. The reason why I said it'd be tougher on Tank, because Tank is a smaller fighter, and Tank has got to go inside to do his work. He can't really do his work from the outside because he's smaller. So he's got to do all his work from the inside. And it's going to be tough getting inside, because Ryan has that phenomenal left hook followed by that blazing ass right. So it depends what game plan they come in.
This is what I think. Now, your analysis isn't crazy. Obviously not. What I feel about this fight, I think this is a classic. And I was kind of surprised when you said that one particular comment, but I say it. I think with this particular fight.
Okay.
I think that this is a classic fighter versus boxer. Of course, I would go with Tank as being the boxer. I'm sorry, it's the fighter.
Or being Ryan.
No. So I don't put the Baltimore bias on that. Because I think that Javante has been outboxed probably his last two fights.
Every fight. He's
outboxed. But the fact of the matter is, like H said, he has that power. I think I would agree with H 100% if Ryan wasn't locked out in his last fight. He got up, he redeemed himself, he won the fight. I really truly believe with the length, with the experience, with the footwork, I think he is going. And it's funny you say, if he lives off that jab, he'll be all right. This is why I think that he would. It's no trainer that's getting paid more than $50 that's going to say, you're going to get inside and you're going to throw blows with Tank Davis. He ain't stupid enough to do that.
He don't want
to
train.
Because even though he's smaller, he's stronger. So, and we all know what Tank does. Tank goes to the body. So this is why I think that Garcia is going to be the smarter fighter. I think he's going to space it. He's going to go off the jab. I think the fight is going to go probably, I would say, 8 or 9 rounds. What I'm scared of is because of this weight, this, what is the 10-pound catch weight or some shit like that? I don't like that. I didn't like that in this fight. I didn't like it with the fucking, the Mayweather-Canelo fight. Mm-hmm. I don't like shit like that. It takes away from the natural fighter's power. I don't like that shit. That's why they do the catchweight. Now, here's the issue that I have.
Tank issued that, not Ryan, though.
Right. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem that I have. I think it's all about money right now. Shout out to Oscar De La Hoya for getting this shit done, and that which will lead to another fucking issue that I have with boxing. But I'm glad that he got this done, because this is one of probably two fights that we need as the boxing community. The other one, everybody already know, is Crawford and fucking, what's his
Spence.
Name? Spence. And see, I have a problem with that, because I think they're going to stall that out the way Mayweather and Pacquiao was 6 years later than what it should have fucking been. But I digress a bit. That just fucking
That's
bothers
a touchy
me.
Subject.
Yeah, it is a touchy subject. It fucking bothers me. But I think for this one, I think this is a cash cow fight. I think this is a money fight. I can see this being a draw, and I can see another fight. Because think about it. Let's think about how this generation of prize fighting is since Mayweather been gone.
Right.
The money comes with the popularity. If Tank hypothetically, if he destroys Garcia, if Garcia destroys Tank, who's next? That's worthy.
Shakur. They scared of Shakur.
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Shakur beat everybody ass.
No.
What?
No, no. I think he'll destroy Garcia. I think Tank actually have a better chance with Shakur than Garcia. Like I said, it's styles make fights. Eh?
Tank
you know that.
Tank won't last with Shakur.
No.
I think Shakur too smart.
To me.
I just think money-wise, don't nobody want
to
see it yet.
No. They want to, but they got to get through this fight.
See, that's not a money fight. Boxing, like us, that's not a money fight. Yeah. Shakur is not that fighter yet.
No. Yes, he is.
No, I'm talking about money. People,
the average fan, after this,
is going to determine because we got Haney and Lomachenko. Haney's going to get Lomachenko. The reason why I say Tank and Garcia is not going to be a draw because they're not boxers; they're knockout artists.
And the average fan wanted to see that.
But Garcia doesn't have great footwork at all. He's in there walking like Crash Bandicoot with fucking Timbs on. he don't got the footwork box for 12 rounds.
You know, he's not nice like that.
No.
Garcia is nice, bro. Garcia is undefeated.
Not with
he's
the footwork.
Nice. He's a good puncher. He's a good place puncher. Trust me. When you watch the fight, now, it's going to be a little bit different. I would honestly say YouTube some of his fights, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm quite sure you've seen the fights or whatever. That's why I think I would not be surprised if this goes the distance for the rematch, for the money purposes. Because Tank ain't made no real money.
If I'm a promoter, I'm not doing fights for the average eyeball.
You're doing for the money.
Because they don't know what they're looking at.
Yo.
Yeah. I'm doing it for the hardcore fans that.
I'm telling you.
But that's MMA now. That's not.
The Tank, legendary.
Tank is going to park him.
H, I don't see it, bro.
Tank is going to park him.
I don't see it, bro.
Because Ryan is not a boxer. Ryan is
focused.
But he does not box. His ego is going to get, his pride is going to get in the middle of it. And Tank is going to rock him to sleep.
I don't see it, bro.
He don't got the IQ to box and stick to his jab. Not with Tank.
I don't see it, bro. But This is why I can't wait for it.
I love Ryan Garcia. I love him. Not once have I seen him outbox anybody.
Well, you haven't seen Tank outbox anybody.
Tank don't box.
Well,
Tank
that's what I said. He's a fighter.
He's a brawler.
Listen, I'm telling you, H, you know what? I'm a sports genius. Wait till this fight happens. H gonna stand up and be like, what the fuck?
I wouldn't get mad, but Ryan is not a boxer. He's not gonna keep Tank at the end of his jab. He has never fought a boxing match
Tank 12 rounds. Tank like to get hit, and I think Ryan's gonna hit him. I see this going about 8 to 9 rounds, bro. I'm telling you, 8 to 9 rounds.
The reason Ryan has no defense, bro. He leaves his jaw open all day long. Tank is gonna get up in there.
I don't think he's gonna fight the same way. I think when he got Floyd by I forgot the dude name. When he got his ass knocked out, a fucking light bulb went up in his fucking head. Like, what the fuck am I doing? He got knocked out. He finished the fight though. But the thing is that. He's been down before, and I think he honestly fucking knows he's not going to go against fucking Tank Davis.
He can't do that bullshit. He can't.
I really truly believe he can't just go like this. He had to learn.
But you know what?
He knows that Tank. I don't think he really fucking believes that Tank can't punch and Tank ain't strong.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He knows.
But I just can't wait. I don't think
it's a couple days.
Boxing styles makes fights. Ryan, and plus they put both their purses on the line.
You believe that? I think that's cap.
You think it's cap?
I think that's cap.
I said it was cap.
No fucking way. No way. No way. I seen that shit and I wrote, I was like, cap, bullshit.
Seriously?
Bullshit. Bullshit. De La Hoya.
Was that like 300?
Garcia is Golden Boy, right?
Yeah, he's Golden Boy.
No fucking way. No, he didn't. That's just, they was just IG live and that shit ain't happened,
bro. Oh, yeah, I didn't like that. Like, that kid, whoever that kid is,
but
he's a nobody. You took it to him. They went on IG Live and the kid was like,
oh, the black kid?
Yeah.
No, he's a gamer.
Yeah, like, come on, dog. You're not a fighter. Like,
it's funny, though.
It is funny.
They want to sell it.
Yeah, they gotta sell it.
To the younger crowd. Yeah. I guess that was to the younger crowd.
I think that's why they went.
Boxing
come on,
is,
yo. Fighters going IG Live with each other. Yeah. You don't think that was... they set that up. That's WWE shit. They set that up. That's a promo.
The fight can go...
I could do it all.
The fight can go either way because... I put it to you like this. Ryan can knock you out without a punch. His left hook is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. His right cross is phenomenal. He can exert more energy during the first couple rounds where Tank is sitting back chilling. Now, during the shark waters, that's when Tank apply that pressure.
I don't know. See, here's the thing, Age. Like, every fight is different. That's the normal Tank Davis. When he's going there against Garcia, he wants to knock Garcia out.
He is going
to
knock him out, but he's not going to exert himself.
You don't think he's going to be so thirsty?
That's not Tank. If you watch Tank's resume, he takes his time. He gets the other opponents.
But every fighter don't fight. H, you know, every fighter don't fight the same way every fight. You know that.
That's why
Styles make fights. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's going to do it because Garcia is going to come out being Garcia. I don't think he's going to sit back and try to rope-a-dope him.
But that's
I don't
why,
see that.
That's why this is textbook for Tank. Because Ryan's going to come out going crazy with the left hook.
And like you just said, Ryan can punch. He can knock you out.
He can. But still, it's textbook. Ryan ain't got no defense. So when he throws that wild-ass hook... Guess what? Yo, southpaws are perfect for conventional fighters. You think Tank haven't mastered that shit? That wild ass hook?
Bro.
Tank is gonna park him.
Wait, no. But then he say he won't be surprised if God. Look, I need to see this fight.
Equalizer. I do think we can move forward with Loma and Haney.
Bro, Loma loves staying with me, yo. Loma loves staying with me when he
Haney's going to beat him by a decision. Loma can't keep up with Haney's work rate, and Loma starts off too slow anyway. So by the time he gets to round six and he's finally warmed up, Haney's going to be ahead six rounds anyway.
I can't argue with you on that.
His work ethic is impeccable every round. I mean, he ain't got no heat. I mean, he ain't putting you to sleep. He's just going to beat you by points.
It's just
that's it. And he's phenomenal in shape.
Touch fighter, yeah.
Now, my boy, the pound for pound, Spence.
Did he just call Spence the pound for pound best
player? That boy is a...
Can you stop lying? Stop. Bro. We all know Terrence Crawford is the pound for pound. Can you stop? Can you stop? Come on. H. Stop!
Yo, I love Bud. Listen, I love Bud. I love Bud. Yo.
They call him Bud?
Yeah, Bud Crawford.
Yo.
Spence is different. Stop. Spence is not a bum, but he cannot. He can't keep up with that.
He can't keep up with what? He
can't keep up with Bud Crawford.
You know the difference? You know the difference?
Too fast.
You know the difference? Spence don't go in for... Spence don't fight tune-up fights. He goes and fights the real dogs in there.
Okay.
After the car accident, you think he wanted a warm-up fight? No! He put the belt on the line.
H, your emotions.
No, I'm telling you. His resume.
Because you know.
His resume.
For him to come out of the accident and to go against Bud Crawford, we all know what would happen. Bud Crawford wouldn't even wanted that fight. Because when he had beat him, the first excuse would be what? Oh, he was just in a bad car accident. He should have had a warm-up fight. He shouldn't have had that fight anyway. And I'm glad they didn't. So they gave Spence a lamb to slaughter. And that's fine. To get his confidence up, to get people like H to call him, you know, the pound for pound and all that shit. This is what we want. We want the money rate to go up. Oh, Spence is back. This is not even no doubter. I know Crawford got him. Now, about 2 years ago, I would have sat back and be like, This some shit. I don't know.
What weight now, class is that?
Huh?
What weight class is that?
Middleweight.
Middleweight. Yeah, right now, man. Yeah, no, I'm Crawford all the way on that. That's not even that. Again, another fight we should have seen.
Yeah, already.
Already, but then again, I feel this Mayweather-Pacquiao shit going on. This shit when it's gonna be like 5, 4, 3 years from now, and ain't nobody want to fuck with it.
Hey yo, Spencer's a dog, bro.
He's nice, but he ain't beating Bud Crawford. He is nice, but he ain't beating Bud Crawford. Not now.
What?
Not now.
Spence.
No, sir.
Spence. Yeah. Bud for the minion. Just to stay ready. Hey, yo. Spence.
Look at that. Did you just see what he just did to that boy?
Spence don't fight can of tunas. Spence gets in there and fights. He don't need to fight.
Look at Bud.
He called him a minion.
Easy work.
He's a minion.
Easy work. Look how he just put Sean Porter down like that. Who knocking Sean Porter out like that nowadays?
Sean Porter don't want to see Spence. Oh my God. Nobody wants to see Spence, bro.
Who the champ, bro?
Yo, look at Earl. Look at Spence. Look at that. Yeah. Look at that.
I'm going with the guy.
Stop playing
something
with me.
Something like romantic is.
Look at that.
You crash a Ferrari, right? A white Ferrari. And you like, you know what? Fuck the city.
He ain't putting them down right? like he ain't putting down like Bud.
He did. Putting them down. So look at that.
I'm gonna go get
look
a
at the body a shots.
That is right there. You know what Bud tell him?
That was seven years ago.
I don't know. It's crazy. That's different.
That was 7 years ago.
You say, what are you pointing at?
He's like, you fat.
He said, you fat.
He said, you fat. And yo, and Spence was like, I don't need that much time to get right. But ever since that car accident, he been on 1,000.
That's what I'm saying. It got to happen, man.
It got to happen.
I need this.
They're not like the Charlos. The Charlos take forever. They're prima donnas of the sport. I'm so tired. I love the Charlos, but like, bro, stop.
They walk around and talk a lot.
Like Jamal, like, just stop it. All they do is just run their goddamn mouth.
And start fights in the locker rooms and shit.
Right. You can't fight in the locker room, homie. No
prize fighting. Until the money right.
But listen, boxing, we could talk about that all day because, listen, I'm a connoisseur. Yeah.
You know how I am.
Word. But this week is going to be a tough. I love Tank. I love Ryan. But styles make fights. Hey, yo, Tank see blood. He's a shark, bro.
I'm a rock with Ryan on this one.
You going to rock with Ryan?
I'm standing on the courage of my convictions right now. And I called Garcia when this fight came about. I called it before it even actually got signed. I'm stick with it. I think Ryan did his thing. I think the best thing that happened to him was him being knocked on his ass.
This is crazy because I talked to the both of y'all about boxing, you know, separately. And y'all always pick the same people. So this is the first time y'all really are...
I'm telling you, man, I can see this fight in my head, bro.
Me too.
Manifested.
He manifested. I'm telling you, bro.
Crazy part.
It's right in my head right now.
Yo. My guy over, Rodney that I used to work with, Rodney Hunt.
Listen.
He's in Tank's corner, but he was like, bro, I'm going to be in Vegas. I said, dang.
Hey, yo.
Because he's not directly. He's working.
I'll give it to Ryan if he had defense. He's got no defense. Tank. Listen, Tank will live in his shell. He is not stupid. Ryan is too cocky. Tank is going
to. Even after he found God.
Tank is going.
You don't think Tank is cocky?
But he's smart. He ain't got no crazy work ratio. Tank ain't going to outwork you every round, but he going to knock that ass out when it comes to shark waters. I'm telling you, when you get under them lights, bro.
You think you got to agree. I mean, listen, he's in knockout orders. But who said we going to. Notice everything that H says. Listen to what Ace is saying.
Yeah.
Shark waters. Shark waters is defined anything past the sixth round.
That's a fact.
He think it's going in sixth rounds. What if it don't?
Then it works in his favor.
Ryan's?
No, and Tank's.
But you said if we go, no, didn't Ace just say, if it goes to shark waters, then Tank is going to take him out.
But I always say, but you got that equalizer. You think he going to save his left uppercut or left?
See, here's the thing. I think Garcia is going to win, but I never once said
ain't gonna be that, points.
That Tank could not knock Garcia out. Mm-hmm. I never said that, right. Regardless of what round it is. I don't know why people think that, oh, Tank can only knock motherfuckers out in the later rounds. No, he's stronger early. He just chooses not to do it. For whatever reason, that's how he fights. That's how he fights. But no, he can catch Ryan.
You wonder why
he can catch Ryan?
No, he can't, but you want to know
and,
why?
Especially when you say, Ryan, you believe Ryan has no defense and what he's showing.
No.
I believe in this fight.
His resume supports that.
Because of who he's fighting.
Yeah.
It's going to be a different story. No. I think you're going to watch that fight and you'll be like, God damn. This football, what the fuck is Garcia doing?
I think Ryan.
This is what I see.
Ryan will work on his defense for the first three, four rounds.
That's fine with me.
But after that,
listen,
that chin going to be out there like this.
Listen. I'm telling you.
Tank going to touch that different button. Fights.
When fighters fight a certain type of boxer, when they know what it is, they will change their shit up in order to win.
No, you seen it. They don't got the IQ Hagler. Like that.
You don't think so?
He don't got the IQ. Ryan, they got the IQ like that. He walked like he got Tim's on in the ring. He can't outwork.
This topic is not going to age well for H in a couple of months.
What you mean?
When Ryan's got the belts. When Ryan got the belts.
Yeah.
We're going to play this interview back.
What?
We're going to play this interview back. Hey, I'm going to have to come up for the fourth time. I'm going to have the four horsemen this shit coming up the fourth time. Triple C, please give me one of your belts the next time when I come up in there.
Yeah. I tell you this, right? I love Ryan Garcia. I think he's great. He's phenomenal for boxing. Clean, good-looking kid, smart, got power. His IQ is not where it should be with boxing. Just because you get away with little knockouts hand there, his IQ is not there. Well, you know what? I can't say that. He's a very good boxer. But boxing styles make fights.
Yes.
God bless his soul. What's it? Oh, my God. That fought. What was his name that kept beating Shane Mosley? And he kept beating him with the jab. Was it Glenn Foster?
Yes, Glenn Foster.
Yo, Glenn had a God bless his soul, he passed away.
He passed away.
He had a phenomenal jab. Jab is everything. If you can outbox your opponent, case in point. He said, all you need to win is a jab.
Well, let's look at the fucking Antonio Tarver, Roy Jones fights and shit. Nobody thought Tarver had a fucking chance. Roy Jones was destroying people.
Yeah.
But Tarver had a fucking jab. Really beat him the first fight. And then the second fight, he said, what's your excuse is going to be today, Roy?
What's your excuse now?
Roy.
And knocked him out.
And did it. So certain fighters just have other fighters' numbers. It's just what it is. It just comes with the territory. That's just what it is. Just like Marquez and Pacquiao. You seen in that last fight, what was the fourth fight? Yeah, the fourth fight was the last fight, right? Right. They went into like round six. And this motherfucker caught Pacquiao with the greatest fucking counterpunch. Drop. You never see. You see a motherfucker drop face first. Pacquiao dropped to his knees, then dropped to his face.
Yeah.
And you like, what the fuck?
Yo, man.
The whole prior three fights, Pacquiao tore this man's brakes off his ass. Up. I kept saying, yeah, it's exciting. I get for the nationalities. But why are we having four fights with these motherfuckers? Pacquiao's killing this boy.
I mean, we just experienced that in UFC with Adesanya and Pereira. You saw what Adesanya did on their fourth fight.
Yeah.
Put him to sleep.
That was Manny. Ass up in the air and everything.
Damn.
Sleep.
That's on that third fight, I guess whoever lost the first three on that fourth one, I don't know what it is. If you ever get that chance, it's
like I said, but certain fights and certain
fights, styles
bro,
just make styles, it, bro.
And you catch somebody, and that was a flush shot. I mean, he caught Pacquiao. I mean,
it don't get
no better than that.
Seriously.
No better than that.
It was a straight right, bro.
Straight right. In his nose.
Yes. Manny wasn't even mad. He said, he caught me with a good punch.
Yeah.
That's boxing, bro. You're going to get hit.
With like 1 second left in the round.
Yo, that was it.
Yeah.
Yo.
Let me tell you. I had a fight party at the house. When I say, Pacquiao fucking him up. Because he had dropped him once and he was killing him around. But Marquez had dropped him in the second round with an overhand right. I do remember that. But then Pacquiao came back and dropped him. Right. I said, only thing Pacquiao got to do is just make this convincing. And then it's automatically Pacquiao and Floyd. When I tell you, I anticipated that Pacquiao-Floyd fight more than because I'm a huge Floyd fan.
Me
and
too.
I was a Pacquiao fan too. Yeah. And I'm like, I kept saying, why is this not getting done? Why is this not getting done? Why is this not getting done? I said, man, after he mopped Marquez, it's nobody else.
Yeah.
Bro, when he lost, all my hopes went down the drain. All my hopes went down the drain.
As soon as he dropped the bell ring.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
The round was over.
Done. Done.
But it comes with the territory.
Yep.
Part of the game.
But you know what? I love the topic of boxing.
Yeah, man, we could talk about this shit for US.
Sorry, guys, we just got caught up in it. You know, it happens.
All day long.
But
man.
I want to say, you know what? This podcast is a beautiful thing. I was at headquarters today, as a matter of fact. A sheriff came in. Hey, yo. So I let him in. So he comes inside and he's like, hey, yo. Ain't you on the podcast? So I said, yeah. He said, Big H, right? I said, yeah. He said, yo, I love you guys. He said, yo, I watch it every fucking week. He said, yo, I tell all my coworkers about you guys. He said, yo, it's amazing. It's perfect for us. And then, you know what? And I'm like, I said, wow, really? He said, bro, I'm telling you. He said, I tell everybody about the podcast. Yo, he said, we need it.
All we're trying to do is spread positivity. And,
but it feels good when you hear that. And then when you hear from other people that, you know, they don't want to get on, they don't want to get on the podcast, but they love it.
Bruce of the labor.
You know what I'm saying?
Bruce of your labor. You see what it's doing out here, man. Excuse me. Reaching and it's touching people, man. That's what's up, man. That's what y'all want to do, and that's what's being done.
Especially for our community. Like Tuss said last week, you know,
I saw Monday morning.
Yeah.
He felt really good.
I mean, he's also therapeutic.
He said, yo, yeah, I killed that shit. Shout out to Tut.
Yeah.
I told you, bro.
Go to his parties, because I'm a fucking good DJ.
Why? But I can't do house all night. That's not for the gods.
That's me. Boom, 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 boom.
Absolutely not. I don't even like the sweat. No, I'm not going to fuck up my apparel just to appease you. You know, and the two-step, no.
That's what you're working for, baby.
Two steps and a twist, and I'm done for the night.
That's what you're working for.
Two steps and a twist, that's it.
That's it.
Pinky's always up.
Yeah. Right. I mean, nowadays, you know, I got a good foot and a good foot. I'm at the ball chilling.
Hey, so let me ask y'all a question.
Yes, sir.
About a month and a half ago, I texted you both asking you a question. Billboard magazine came out with their greatest rappers of all time. I believe they dropped 50. But I believe I asked I asked you two and maybe three other people who I think are musically inclined. I said, can you do me a favor? Can you tell me your top 10, 50 rappers of all time? Now, I have the responses.
You do.
Because I said, when I come in with things, I like to come in with facts, data, and statistics. let me repeat that, y'all. Facts, data, and statistics.
Yes, absolutely.
I like to come up with that. So, what I'm going to do...
No gray area.
So, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to read... hold on. Let me... My man, Dre. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, let me go with Dre's top 10 rappers of all time.
Okay.
In this order. This is what Dre sent me. Now, again, this is about a month and a half ago. All right. I'm going to start from the bottom on up. Number 10.
Can I get a after each one?
Let me get, all right, number 10, Drake.
What?
Oh, that's right. Your list.
Wait.
Ladies and gentlemen, facts, data, statistics.
Okay.
All right, so number 10, Drake. Mm-hmm. Number 9, Wayne. We're going to talk about
it. But I said it's
not.
No.
All right, number 8, Cam'ron. Number 7, Eminem. Number 6, Pun. Number 5, Lox. Number 4, Tupac. Number 3, Nas. Number 2, Jay-Z. Number 1, Biggie. So we're going to quietly critique.
What I said. Not in that order. It says it right there. Not in that order. That's my list.
Okay, that's his list. That's his list. Okay, so... All right, so what I want to do now, I'm going to go to H's list.
Yeah.
H's list, I'm going to start from bottom down. Okay. He got Snoop, he got X, he got LL, he got Kanye, he got Wayne, he got M, Nas, Pac, Biggie, Jay. That's what he got. All right? So I'm going to go with my top 10. My top 10, I got Ghost, Raekwon, KRS-One, LL.
You got
Wayne.
You got Ghost and Raekwon? Or
well, I mean, I ain't want to say the Wu-Tang Clan, so that's why I just equaled it up. That's why I said it, whatever.
Okay.
So, Ghost, Raekwon,
yeah.
KRS-One, LL, Wayne.
LL.
Yeah, I got LL, I got Wayne. Six, I got M. Five, I got Pac. Four, I got Rakim. Three, I got Jay. Two, I got Nas. Number one, undisputed, all time for me, regardless of anything, is going to be Biggie. Now, prior to the show, ladies and gentlemen, exactly, I'm getting to that. I'm a host like y'all now. All right, I'm getting to the questions. So, prior to the show, ladies and gentlemen, I asked super fucking producer Triple C, I said, can you please give me your top 10 rappers of all time? Ladies and gentlemen, Triple C.
Going from number 10, I have Kendrick Lamar. Number 9, I have J. Cole. Number 8, y'all know I was just playing them 50 Cent. Then I'm getting to my top 7. Jadakiss.
Mm-hmm.
At 6, I have Hov. At 5, I have DMX. At 4, I have KRS-One. At 3, I have Pun. Mm-hmm. 2, Nas, and 1 is Biggie Smalls.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a different list.
So, okay. And I like that, and I respect that. Let me tell you what Billboard said, which really started me asking you guys this, because I just think that this was complete disrespect and trash, and it struck a nerve with me.
Okay. Nerve.
All right, so I'll start with that at number 10. They got Nicki Minaj, number 10.
Cool.
Snoop, yeah, cool.
No, I'm saying
cool. Right. Nicki, number 10. Nicki Snoop, Spit. Number 9. 8 is Drake. 7 is Wayne. 6 is Biggie. 5 is M. 4 is Pac. 3 is Nas. 2 is Kendrick. 1 is Jay. Now,
I'll tell you exactly.
Baddest rappers of all time?
All time.
I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
That's all revenue driven.
Okay, I understand why Billboard did it.
Revenue driven.
But
I am assuming that.
So we can all agree universally that Nicki should not be in top 10 anything.
That's nice, fact. But okay, not there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I put Queen Latifah before, huh?
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Love you, Nicki.
But that last joint she did with Ice Spice, though. You're her voice?
I don't care what she did. She ain't top Spice? 10 rap. That is a disrespect.
I love Nicki, but we're talking greatest
of all time.
That's what I'm
She's
saying.
Not it's even different. In the.
You can't do
Stop.
That.
Stop. Don't do that.
No.
Can't yeah,
do
no. That.
No. No. Do no. That. No. So let me ask you this though, because a lot of our lists had some of the same people, but Dre, one person I seen on your list that I cannot believe
I made me
raise
say.
My eyebrow. I know you, Mr. Bippity Boppity Hoppity Scoppity Doobity Doppity Doo.
Come on, don't disrespect him.
What? Cam got...
Dre,
Cam,
please explain yourself.
Nobody spits like him, number one. What happened?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Cam, dog.
I love Cam. But what,
Cam.
But the subject is greatest of all
For
time.
For me, absolutely.
Greatest of all time?
Dre. One of them.
So,
Cameron?
Because nobody has even perfected his whole flow. And he can spit the way you spit, but nobody can spit the way he spit. And he got that pizzazz. What? Cam? He actually rhymes the words.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Cam is nice.
He's an MC's MC, but he's not.
Cam is nice, dog. Cam is nice. Who am I supposed to substitute him with?
So let me tell you. So he's Cam better than...
Greatest of all time, though?
Yo, we talking... Cam is a Yo. Whole era by himself.
What's in this drink, bro?
I know you are from the Bronx. Please retract your statement that you just said.
Thank you.
That he is better than KRS-One.
What?
Because that's basically what you just said. You are
that
from the
B. That is blasphemous.
Retract that statement,
That is
bro.
Blasphemous.
Retract that
I missed
statement.
That, see?
Retract
see, I missed
that
what?
Statement. Dog, don't.
This is blasphemous.
You gotta go
Dre,
home.
Dre, stop. Don't stop. Do stop.
Hey, yo.
You think he better than Chris? Stop.
Don't do it.
If the question was,
please edit that.
You know I'm gonna do it.
Yo,
I'm gonna do it.
If the question was rappers of the greatest era, Cam would be up there.
Yeah,
because he had the whole world rocking pink.
He's an MC. Won't deny
Cam,
it.
Cam is the man. I love Cam. But he's not greatest of all time.
Don't put him on the list with Chris.
He's not great.
What 357? What?
All right. So
I get it.
Yo,
all right, you know who I see. Okay, okay. Cam you stick you with your Cam. Who had Kendrick Lamar on the list?
I didn't.
You did. Yeah. Can you explain that, please?
It was honestly timing and the fact that I was just like I like him. Like, I really do. New boy style, I like him. But when y'all was like LL and some of them other guys, it's different. But I'm looking at MCs. So MC, when I'm saying rappers MC. And MCs and this, that, and the fourth. So, but if you'd have given me some time to think about it, my top 10 would have, that, my top seven, never gonna, it might fluctuate a little bit with Hov moving, but I'm looking at it, again, this is not dissing Hov or nothing, but these guys that he competed against in his era, mm-hmm. X was a monster.
Yes.
And he wasn't in his, in X's prime.
I agree.
He,
I just, agree.
He,
I,
again, I agree. Body of work, with it.
Of X, course. X dominated the world, yes. bro.
You see what I'm saying? And I'm looking at guys that shifted. So them guys that shifted the things that they were doing, it was just, you know, like what my, I mean? Them last ones were just favorites of when I was looking. Hey, 15 minutes before.
The one that shifted the culture and the world. I'm talking Outkast, which is in my top 10. DMX, Jay, Biggie, for crying out loud. God bless his soul. Like, I'm talking about, so like, real...
But those are the ones that everybody's going to agree with, for sure.
Because it's greatest of all time,
yeah,
bro.
When you talk like that, yeah. Yeah. I've did that list for me, like, what I...
Nah, I got you.
But when you talk, like, straight across the board, you're going to talk Jay-Z. You're going to talk people that completely took hip-hop from, like...
Kanye!
We're here.
Kanye's a genius. You got to throw
Kanye in there. You got to throw Drake in there. Drake has been consistent.
Not Drake.
But yeah. See, 10. He's been consistent for what?
He could be 10.
That's the limit.
He could be 10.
Drake or Kanye?
Kanye's Drake. A great performer.
No. Kanye's already in top 10. Drake could be 10 of the new guys. That's in the greatest of all time. Ye's that dude. Ye switched the whole culture.
Yeah, you can even talk to Ye about one of the probably.
I mean, because
one of the greatest producers.
So but what we said, greatest of all time.
Yes, I agree.
But what we said, greatest of all time. We got to put the accolades up there. We got to put what they did.
I look at rappers.
His production is crazy.
Insane.
Not to mention what he did with records. Not to mention what he did for sneaker deals.
He made albums. It's going to change a little bit. Yeah, season rappers.
That's what I'm saying. Hip hop, the whole culture. There's so many different categories.
Because I think Ye, right, Ye was a billionaire way before Jay was, right?
With all his extracurricular stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who you know that signs deals with Adidas like that?
He's a great rapper.
Nah.
Hey, yo, like, and then when they cut him off, they want him back.
For more. But
Ye's a beast, so I knew he was looping.
All right, so MCs. Wrote their own bars, wrote their this, that, and the fourth. It's the reason why I kept. Well, that's the reason why I kept Snoop off, because again, Hov wrote a few of his raps that I did not know.
I put Snoop on there.
Ones that he took off when he went in.
Let me tell you why I didn't.
That battle against X, he said I didn't rap him because Hov wrote him.
Here's the thing that I have. He's a gentleman. Snoop. I think Snoop, his longevity, his popularity, his era, and all that stuff, you got to give it to him.
Great rapper.
But I said to myself, I said, well, okay, Doggy Style, in my opinion, is one of the greatest hip hop albums ever.
All time.
Facts. Here's the problem. That's all you got.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
After that, you just got
features. That's all you got.
I mean, he had a couple of singles jump off, you know, beautiful, some strip club anthems or whatever. But I'm talking about as far as him lyrically, him as the MC.
I agree.
He's chasing the
dog. Right.
I agree.
That's the reason why for the culture, of course you'll put Snoop up there. Yeah. But as far as, he can't touch Jay.
No.
He can't touch
Nas.
No.
He can't. But who you know after N.W.A. you could talk about on the West Side?
Yeah.
Besides Snoop. Even after that time period.
That's why I really.
You can't miss it. Shout out MC8. You know, you can't mention them guys. Snoop was like the...
It's the same thing you can say about the South, H. I mean, the same thing you can say about... Outkast. It's the same thing you can say about the fucking Rap-A-Lot dudes that was down there in Texas and shit. Houston, them motherfuckers. What's his name? Scarface and them. Boys. And all of that stuff. So, I mean, you got your area or your area rappers and stuff like that. But I think Snoop, obviously Snoop was household. But if you look at that Doggy Style album and how he followed that up, that's what I'm saying. Ready to Die, Life After Death.
Oh God, stop!
Come on!
Yeah,
that's what I mean by that.
It was a culture.
No, I agree. So, the Doggy Style, that was it.
That's
it.
That's why people say Jay-Z is probably one of the greatest, because He hit album after album.
I'm gonna tell y'all, but here's the thing, and I researched, and when y'all get a chance,
but Drake,
look at Jay's album sales.
No, no, you're right. Drake killed him.
Very low.
Yeah.
Album sales for Jay.
He never had a platinum until.
Never had a platinum.
No, he didn't.
Never had a platinum. So you gotta look at that too. You gotta sit back and say, okay, we putting this on. Are we saying quantity over quality or quality over quantity? Because you tell me what two albums, on the face of itself, no matter what era, two albums is better than Ready to Die, Life After Death. Two albums back to back.
But that's why Biggie's
follow
up. One.
That's what I.
The only person I can follow up is DMX.
That's a conversation.
You mean follow up, Jay or.
No, after Biggie.
Right, correct.
As far as debut, and then that sophomore year. But outside of that,
X like that, I'm like, are you missing an era where there was nobody? No, it's no disrespect to Jay-Z.
98,
but
99.
When we were growing up, nobody was checking for Jay when DMX dropped a nuclear bomb on the hip-hop world.
He did. I remember. Yeah.
You did? I mean, you would. And then he said, I'm going to give you another album in the same year.
I think it was like, crazy. Like 7-8 months
nobody
later.
Nobody does.
So think about that.
That's record suicide.
I think the problem with Jay-Z was that, like, when he, you know, when he got out of that flow with the, and then he switched up his flow, kind of like 50 did the same thing.
I just think he's
50
Kevin
was
Hart.
Out first until then he got shot. And then he came back with the raspy, with the, you know what I'm saying? But Jay-Z was talking. That's the thing about Jay-Z. Like, he was. Jay was talking about shit
crazy.
That motherfuckers in the street didn't experience because Jay was really like on some high, exquisite shit.
Yeah.
It's now that we're talking about it because we're older. Oh, Mona Lee. You know what I'm saying? But he was talking about that shit back then. Today I was riding,
I've always loved Jay-Z. Tupac is a poet. He's amazing. He's different things. But MCs are what I grew up on people where KRS-One, people Rock are still Kim, studying.
KRS-One, Big Kim, Daddy
them
Kane.
Type of dudes. So
Big Daddy Kane.
You know what I'm saying? When I heard Nas, I heard a shift in what we were hearing sonically. When I heard Biggie, when I heard DMX, it wasn't just the dog growling.
Yes.
Your emotion, like when he was talking to you, I felt like he was talking and he was in Baltimore too, but he was talking about Black. That transcends
I agree,
that.
See? I agree.
And it's not different. And I'm not knocking Hov, but he was messing with Hep. He just didn't have the title. He outlasted people. So I love that.
Yeah.
But when them dudes hit, he wasn't at their level.
Yeah,
disrespect to him.
And it's not.
They were very. Well, because Jay comes across very gentlemanish. You know what I'm saying? Those dudes was like just next level. Like, I just heard I Gave You Power by Nas today. That shit gave me chills, though.
And when the X drop? Day, that's when just the X drop? He dropped.
That was
98.
It was Monsters.
98. That whole era of hip hop was insane.
And this was before Swiss was Swiss. So Dame,
Dame was doing
Let's be
thing.
Clear, because you know this. And we're talking about X right now. Can you name a top producer that was a top producer when they first came out that X was rocking? You can't.
No.
His vocal tone. But he made them.
Dame Grease was out there.
Yeah. Because Timbaland during that late era, it was Timbaland.
It was Swiss and Timbaland.
But Swiss. Was Swiss really jumping?
No, Swiss is crazy with Rough Riders.
Yeah, but after
nephew. The dude that
what I'm saying is that I heard X before I knew who Swiss was. And
of
then
course,
he started rocking.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
But Dame Grease was the in-house Rough Rider.
I just don't. I just don't think at any point
Pete Rock and
at any point Jay was the number one guy. I think he's always been up there.
Yeah,
you can never forget him. But I think he just hit eras where dudes came along, when DMXs, when Eminems came along, when you had certain rappers who came, man, that was always like, okay, this is the guy right now. When M came along, I don't think he was ever set alone on the top. I can't think of any era that he was.
That's another one.
When Wayne got off the Hot Boys and he got hot. Yeah. I don't see it, bro. I don't see it. That's the only thing I have against Jay. He was ever number one.
The Carter album is one of the classics.
I was late to Wayne. I was late to Wayne because when they first came out, the music was good sonically, but I wasn't
Listen, let me not lie, bro. When I was in the Navy, and bro, listen, I was the biggest Cash Money fan, bro. I never heard no shit like that. And then again, we talking 99. Mm-hmm. So 99, this is the time of X and everybody else up north. Bro, I go on base, man, and they start blasting the shit. Like, who the fuck is whatever? Like, these Hot Boys. Mm-hmm. Like, who the fuck are the Hot Boys or whatever? Bro, I heard that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of Juvie, Turk, Baby, all of them dudes, like when they was the Hot Boys, when it was a team up or whatever.
Yep.
Now, like you, I didn't get into Wayne until probably 08, 09.
Yep.
08, 09-ish. Yep. Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, but again, you still got to put him up there with his body of work.
Correct. I was late to Wayne. I'm not going to lie to that. I was late to Wayne. I had to go back and listen to what he was saying.
I wasn't. Wayne was that dude.
Yeah,
but Juvie was an animal.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. When I heard that, sonically it changed.
When I heard, was it 500 degrees?
Yeah, you and that big man.
Even the Steve shit and talk rap. He said that not even Mercedes with TVs. I bought that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yo, I love Juvie how was that dude.
Because he sounded like he was talking to you, and then it was some southern shit. And I had some felony charges.
I bought that.
Like, I love. So I was late to Wayne, yo. Juvie and them niggas was him and Turk and all them niggas. And what was the other dude? Not BG. What's the other dude that came out right after him? It was Juvie, and then it was the other dudes.
Juvie, Turk, BG.
It was all.
Yeah.
I think it was BG. Mm-mm.
But Juvie is the man when to put them on, though.
Yeah, Juvie was on some other shit.
Juvie was that dude, reckless. Man.
He was on some other shit. Right now, bro. So, I mean, it's just...
That's another flow that nobody time, really...
Really, so, I mean, that's why...
It's a good debate, though.
It's a great debate. So, when they had it, that's why I was like, yeah, let me ask my boys... What do you think about this shit, man? Like, yeah, good stuff, man. But I'm a Biggie. Biggie's my guy.
Biggie's all day. To the end,
it's just what it is with me.
The thing about Biggie is that he had it all.
He had it all, man. He had it all.
23, 24 years old with a flow like that?
Crazy.
Like, disgusting.
Like, what?
That flow was still murder rappers today.
Like, what? They still trying to master it. I say the closest one is Jadakiss. And everybody knows
but Jadakiss in his own lane, though.
But he's on his own lane, but like
Biggie was on some sophisticated, sexy big boy shit.
But like, what was in your brain for you to rap? Like
yo, he's ahead of his time, bro.
Ahead of his time.
24 years old, spitting like that.
There's people that are in this world that when I see him, I'm like, he must have been an alien. He came down, gave us this gift.
Yeah,
got the fuck up out of here.
Yeah. That double
because
CD,
that
bro.
Shit was stupid.
Yo, ready? CD. Oh my god!
That even life, the album that, cover, that, like shout out to Puffy and them. Like,
that joint.
You look at that shit, and that shit gave you chills.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Nigga,
man.
When he did that shit with,
come on, man.
Bone Thugs?
Yes.
What?
Notorious Thugs.
Notorious, that shit still
that
hit.
That intro?
Come on, let's ride. Let's ride. Yo, you know how crazy that is? What? You know how he creeped it? He freaked about doing that shit.
Thank you.
Come on. Low down and dangerous. Ain't too many can beg with us. Straight up, we no angel dust. Label us notorious. Still gas niggas that love the bus. What?
They ain't know about that.
Y'all niggas be scrambling.
He went to
that
style. He went to that style.
And killed it. And killed it.
From New York and Cleveland.
Come on, stop. That's crazy.
That's why, to me, man, just based on the quality, I know he didn't have the time frame, but just, bro, listen, I still, to this day.
He was great,
stays in a rotation. Stays in a rotation. It sounds just as good. That's a great thing.
Could you imagine Biggie now?
Like, oh, God.
What shit would he be saying now?
He'd be like Jay. He'll come out whenever he want, just to say what he wants.
Say some shit that like we're gonna understand in 2030.
Right.
Yeah. It's a great debate, man. It's an awesome debate. It's an awesome freaking debate.
Damn.
Let me ask you something though. I'm gonna switch topics, and I want to get your opinion, both of your opinions, because it's kind of hot right now. The juvenile curfew stuff, the stuff that's going down in the Inner Harbor. Do you think? Not more so. Do you think that a curfew will work? Do you think there's any way to get out of this problem that we're having right now when it comes to the juvenile?
Excuse me. I mean, because you know when the, you know, springtime, summertime hit, you already know they're going to be out there. It's a given. But they, you know, they in the Inner Harbor. And, you know, the Inner Harbor is like the gold mine for Baltimore City. Them being on a juvenile curfew... How's it gonna be enforced without guidelines on how we supposed to enforce these codes of conduct? Because too many officers are getting your officers are getting jammed up now over simple things. CBIF just got another 10 officers.
Damn.
Suspended. So it's like, how do you want us to really, like, I don't know. But I should, for you as a lieutenant, how is that on your level? What, like, how do you feel about all that?
I'm gonna answer that real quick. What's your feel on it, Dre?
I mean, I think there's a lot of problems. We're short everywhere. We're handcuffed. I'm gonna say something that everybody has said from the beginning. It starts at home. These kids, their parents need to, like, instruct fear. Like,
no, there was a
pastor. Go downtown, I'm gonna beat the shit out of you.
But no, there was a pastor that went on the news, and he was like, "This is not a police problem.
It's not a police problem."
Yes.
It's not a police problem.
And I love what he said, because he said, this has nothing to do with Baltimore City Police. This is all the parents in Baltimore City that allow their children to do what they want to do.
That's the thing.
This shit starts at home.
There you go. So, it starts at home because these kids don't know how to behave. And the parents want, like even with teachers, like, well, you supposed to be teaching my kids. It's like, yo, you could go home and do some homework too, fam. Like, it's the same way with behavior. When you come downtown and you're in a group, you got to know how to act. You know what I mean? Like, everybody, downtown is free and open so that everybody can enjoy. It's a beautiful fucking little piece of landmark on the East Coast. But for you to come down here and act the way you do, that's a parental problem. And then once we go and do your job, now we get sued. It's not.
It's just, you know why it's tough? Because, like, what do you want police to do, man? Like,
I tell you right now,
like, if this kid is like, he's got a gun, he's on a dirt bike. Like, what do you want? Because if we go hands on, you're gonna find a fucking way to jam up an officer because he did what he had to do to get this kid off of this fucking bike.
And we don't
want to
do that.
And we don't want to do that. But what do you want?
Because he's a kid.
What kind of policing do you want? Do you want us to sit back and just stay on the radio? All right, he's going over here. He's going over there. I'm not going to go hands on though, because if I tackle him off the or if I grab him, you're going to find a way to fucking take my job. Right. If he falls awkwardly, even though he's got a gun and he's doing something he shouldn't be, that it's not a regular handgun violence. Now it's a felony because you committed a crime and you're trying to leave the scene of a fucking crime. So what do you want us to do? Because you're finding ways to grab officers and jam them up and fucking, you know, fire them. And it's just a fact.
I feel you. Well, what's up, C?
As a civilian, your last name gotta mean something. And what I mean by that is I was more in fear of what my mother or my father would do. Shout out to my pops, that's, you know what I'm saying, old school Army Vietnam vet. And there was no, if he had to pick me up from Baltimore City Police Department, I would not be here. So your last name had to mean something. I know for a lot of people, they say that, but that really has to mean something. So it wasn't, I didn't even know what a police curfew was, because Marion Grant curfew meant more than that. Right. Your goddamn street lights was on, your ass need to be in that goddamn house. I don't care where you at. I don't care what projects or what neighborhood you was in, and play with it. So I definitely understand that. The next thing I'll say, because I know you're going to bring it home. My father always say this, and I'm saying this to all of our fans, to all of our fans around the world and everything else. My father, there's no such thing as bad kids. It's only bad parents. And I live by that. I have a 21-year-old about to be 12-year-old and a 10-year-old. If my 12-year-old and my 10-year-old fuck up in any way, shape, form, or fashion, it's my fault. My 21-year-old, I've raised that young man to be the young man he needs to be. If he fucks that up, he ain't fucking his last name up, because I'm going to still rain hell on him, even at 21. But be clear, for my 12-year-old and my 10-year-old, that's my responsibility. I don't need no... I go to school right now, the school police officer in the county, "Mr. Burley, how you doing?" Because it was one time he thought he was going to do something. I told him I was going to kill him, literally. His teachers literally thought, I said, "Oh, I am." And then when I said it, I said, "And I've been killed 3 times and I'm good." And they started laughing because they knew what it was. We don't play that. That's just how I was raised.
Now, I got to say something for our lieutenant, my brother, my big bro. He's educated, and he could say this because you was on patrol for how many years, bro?
14.
14 before he became a sergeant. And then after you became a sergeant, how many years before you became a lieutenant? 2 years. So I value his opinion. I value his expertise because he's been through what we've been through and what patrol officers been through at that level. It's funny
you say that. And on top of that, born and raised in the city and serve the country.
So this is why.
So like, that's how you check all the boxes.
This is
like,
how,
what do you have to say after that?
And don't get no valid than what he's gonna say right now.
You see,
he's unimpeachable.
So this is how I want to bring this home, because all three of y'all, first base, second base, third base, I'm just gonna bring this home to the home plate. All of y'all hit on all the points, the melting pot of what I just said. Triple C, you nailed it. It all starts from home. Now, with each question, he said, as a lieutenant, you know, what can you do? Here's the thing. Regardless of these juveniles, these kids were going to the Inner Harbor, regardless these kids were going to Fells Point, Curtis Bay, White Marsh, whatever the case may be, because believe it or not, all these places I named, Columbia Mall, Towson Town Center, they've all had this problem to a degree when it came at it. And see, here's the difference. If you Google up the definition of discipline, the definition of discipline is simply, one of them is to correct behavior. Now, there's different ways to correct behavior, but the bottom line is you correct it. You establish it first and foremost. And here's the thing. That has to be established where? At home. But let's just say that's not done for whatever reason, because everybody's brought up differently. The issues that happen at Columbia Mall, they got a whiff of that, and they said, that ain't happening no more. With the Columbia Mall Institute, they said it's going to be a lockdown from this day to this day, from this time to this time. You're not allowed in here, because malls are for what? For capitalism, to make money.
That's it.
Malls are not to be hung out in and destroyed and vandalized and things like that. We're not tolerating that. There's something that's already that's established. When they went out to Towson Town Center and they started causing chaos, they had the big incidents on January 1st. Mm-hmm. They came out there in force. They showed force. They arrested probably 8 or 9 or whatever. They showed this is not happening. If this happens again, this is what's going to continue to happen. Mm. What happens, bro, is that regardless of where these kids are coming from, they sit back and know if we do this, this is going to be the repercussions. It doesn't matter if it's at Harbor Place. It don't matter if it's White Marsh. It don't matter if it's in his home. If I bring in all D's, I'm going to get my ass whipped, or X, Y, and Z. The kids know. Now, you can debate whether a kid brain is developed. Trust me and believe me. Like I said, I grew up in the hood. I grew up in the projects. I knew there was a difference for me going into the gas station and me putting a bag of M&M's in my pocket and running out the store, and a difference between me knocking somebody out and going down in their pockets. Mm-hmm. I kind of know that the discipline, the consequences, the repercussions, kind of low for this bag of M&M's and kind of high if I knock somebody out and grab them in their pockets. You know. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't establish a discipline, it's going to be corrupted. They don't care. It's not a coincidence. This is not right. They're not scared. Nothing established where there's a will to, you know what? They ain't going to break out, Will. They ain't going to do nothing. And you can see it. Did y'all see, when you get a chance, look at what happened in Chicago over the past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
They downtown. Tore Chicago, downtown Chicago.
They
up,
tore it up.
With the kids?
Yes.
Hell
bro.
Yeah.
It made the Chicago like a riot. Like something at a playground. That's how bad Chicago went this weekend. They destroyed everything in Chicago.
Downtown Chicago,
downtown.
Big money.
Check it out. Check it out. Just this weekend that just passed. Bro, I read about all of this stuff because I sit back and I say, is this just Baltimore? Is this law enforcement thing? I'm telling you, downtown Chicago, right? Peep that out, see everything. And there's the police standing right there. And what are they doing?
Standing there.
What were we doing this past weekend?
Standing there.
That's the narrative that's out there.
You got the dogs on the leash, man.
There you go.
Gotta let them loose.
And again, everything that you said, if you grab
look at,
them,
look at like, this shit.
Look at it.
Tearing people's cars up.
You think they don't know what they're doing?
Could you imagine going out Chicago?
That's a fact.
I'm on a date and you come back and your car's destroyed.
Look at all them goddamn kids out there.
Look at that.
There's police walking right there. They can't enforce.
Can't do nothing.
What can they do?
Hey, yo. Police has got so fucking soft. Like, yo, I don't know what people think police is. Yes. You think we're like certified super security guards? Like, I mean, what do you, you're creating a monster. Look at this shit. You got taxpaying civilians that want to enjoy themselves downtown on a Friday night.
H is the optics, bro. That's the thing. Like, I don't think it's the individual police officer, the man or the woman, the sergeant, the lieutenant, whoever. I truly believe it is the optics. It's about how it looks. No department, no agency wants to be on CNN, wants to be on Fox, wants to be X, Y, and Z. That's what it is. And then you got to sit back and you got to look at the components of the actual individual.
The fam.
What, right, the fam. No. Why you got to take my car? Why you got to take my home? I'm doing my job. I'm trying to save the city. I'm trying to help the city. But I'm telling you, it's always about the bigger picture. And this is, unfortunately, this is the downside of it. It's sad, man.
I love octopus calamari. I love that. I don't like seeing the way it's made, but I like to eat it. It's the same thing with police work. Sometimes someone needs to be grabbed up, snatched up. Yo, it's part of the job. If it keeps everybody in line, so that I could go downtown in Chicago, have a nice dinner with my family, and spend money, then yes. Hey, yo, because that person is out of line.
I tell you what.
It's wild.
I'll tell you, policing has gotten to a point where people are just going to work overtime to get their money and go the fuck home.
That's sad.
Absolutely.
Nobody is going to... And it's sad because... You got real officers that bleed and love to
look at that.
And love to stop the bad kids, the bad guys, and all this nonsense. Criminals. You got tax-paying people that want to go. They can't even enjoy a weekend in the downtown area.
They have businesses that has to close.
Yes, because of this nonsense.
Nonsense.
But you see a lot of the businesses moving out. Look at that. Driving by.
Look at that shit. They can't even drive out.
Get out the car and handle your business, then you're wrong.
Ask yourself, Dre, you think they sit back and say, hey, if I kick this car, pull this person out, I'm going to get arrested? There's no fear. There's no respect.
There's no respect at all.
This is what they don't talk about out there. Right. These kids know exactly what they're doing.
Yes, they do. Look at this shit.
Working on top of cars.
Stay in the child's place.
It'll never happen because look at this. Now, you're going to sit back and tell me that all of these kids' parents don't know where they are? They know where they are. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. I think the mayor said that they were... like protesting about like food or stuff.
No,
it wasn't protesting.
It was just a nice weekend.
No, causing a ruckus.
It's warm outside. Let's
You know when we used to walk downstairs and the grown-ups was talking and we would be like trying to hear what they saying and they would basically either pop us or look at us like, take your ass back upstairs. Staying in their child's
place. It's just different, bro.
It is a different time. When we used to, we used to do this up and down Fordham, but I wasn't vandalizing. No, I'm trying to get numbers.
The reason why.
I was trying to get numbers. What's up? What we doing, mommy? Where we going?
Did not have rights.
What's your AOL?
There's so many people just sitting. Hey, yo, you know what? Policing is just sitting back now.
Yeah. That's what they want.
It's just sitting back. And I'm good with it.
There's a reason why we didn't have rights when we were growing up.
Look at this. Kids, parents, ridiculous.
Our parent, our grandma, and this, that, and the fourth, shout out to the people that raised us. They knew that we weren't ready for certain things. We just
started.
It's
too much freedom for these kids. Yeah,
we weren't ready for
it. Whether it was from your grandmother, your grandfather, your aunt, your uncle, your mom, your dad, whoever.
We did some crazy stuff, but we never went this far because somebody, I was so scared that somebody was going to go back and tell somebody in my family that it was going to be an ass. It was going to be an ass. Waiting for the kick, man.
But you know what?
Footwear to kick.
That is the main reason why we started this podcast. Officers, fellow brothers and sisters, we know what you're going through. We love you. We appreciate you. Yo, you only can handle what you can handle. Don't get stressed out. Not at all. You follow your policies and procedures set forth for you to be a police officer, a detective, whatever it is, whatever rank you want to go into. Because at the end of the day, if you do something messed up, and it could be by you, it could be no malice or anything, they're going to get you. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth.
Yeah, man.
Policing is totally different.
Optics weigh so much more than intentions.
Absolutely.
It's just how things look. unfortunately, you know, it's just what it is, man. I tell you, man, there's a lot of people that actually want to go out here and help, you know.
And do the right thing. And
believe it or not, it's a lot of people out there that love police, that want to be secure, that want to be taken care of, that says, thank you for your service.
Right. And
trust me, it is. So the good outweighs the bad. But the thing is that the cameras aren't on the good people.
Absolutely. Right.
The cameras ain't on that. Yeah. They don't want to talk to them. They don't want to talk to the good people of Baltimore City. They don't want to interview them. They want to show the riots, the ruckus, and the worst of the worst or whatever. It's, man, it's optics game, man. And it's just, unfortunately, that's the narrative around the country right now, man. I mean, it's sad. It's sad, bro. It really honestly is.
You see how dangerous San Francisco is now.
It's horrible.
It's what it is.
It's crazy.
But listen, we are your outlet. We love you. We appreciate you. We do the job the way it's supposed to be done. Regardless of what's going on, we still going to serve the way we supposed to, the way the job is supposed to be served. You got phenomenal supervisors like our brother Tavon. I
appreciate
phenomenal
you.
Detectives like myself and
yes,
Drake.
Sir. Yes, sir.
And serving on the federal level like Triple C.
See?
We do what we supposed to do. Yo, bro, any shout-outs you want to give out, bro?
How's your... Man, the fam, yeah. Let me get the fam.
Get them out.
Northeast fam, Southwest fam, Southern District fam. For the legends that retired from the game, the Sean Williamses, the Corey Jennings, Reggie Parkers, my boy Dosine, Serrano, London. Oh, my goodness gracious. I tell you, every time we do this, like, you be like, I don't want to forget somebody. I don't want to forget somebody, man.
Right.
But all the legends from the game that definitely have retired, the ones that showed me the way, my man Hans Nicholas, my boy, goodness, the great Sergeant Daryl Jackson.
All
every,
day.
Everybody who's that showed me the way, helped me out, took time to mentor me. And that's it, man. And just shout out to the officers that's coming up, really.
Yes.
Now you guys are doing, guys and ladies are doing a very difficult job. So I applaud you for taking the challenge and stepping up and wanting to help this city and any other urban city around the world, putting your life on the line. And shit, majority don't appreciate, but we appreciate you.
All day.
Absolutely, no doubt. And of course, to my Navy family, my shipmates. Hoorah.
Hoorah. Sorry. Love you, bro.
Love you too, man.
All
Love
day. You too,
man. Appreciate being on here for the third time. Now, you know, the fourth time is definitely going to be it. But listen, when I come in here, I'm going to be wearing the belts, man.
Word.
Your sports genius. Garcia, take that fight.
It's going to be a tough one.
Come in here like the tribal chief, man.
Word.
Hey, had that set ready for me, Triple C.
All right.
Had that set ready. I'm going to come in here with the belts.
Tank got that city blood. It's going to be tough.
We'll see.
Word.
I appreciate y'all having me, though, man.
Oh,
it's just like being at home, man.
Absolutely.
You couldn't have wrote it or scripted it any better, man. I really enjoy coming back here. I was looking forward. So, hell yeah, man. Got to do it again.
Let's do it again. For real. Dre.
Peace and love, man.
Triple C.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
My peoples, listen, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for continuing to take your time out just to listen to us. Boys in Blue, have a good time. Talk about real stuff. Talk about fun stuff. Listen, we just, like, we're not robots. We're regular people. And we enjoy what we do. We love to serve and protect on all levels. And I want to thank my brother Tavon for coming out. Lieutenant, that is. Listen, he's been through it. 14 years on patrol. Another 2 years as a supervisor, as a sergeant. Now he's a lieutenant going on. How many years now is a lieutenant?
20, man. I'm here at 20.
Jesus Christ.
Year 20.
Time is going. But, like, we thorough. We love what we do. And we just want to give you a little piece of what life is and say the things that some people don't want to say. But it's not a bad thing. Because we're all about change. We're all about, you know, transitioning to the right thing. Putting the best product out there in the streets. And we do it every day. We serve like this. So continue. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We love you. Silverback Chronicles Podcast. Your boy Big H, Triple C, Dre, and the lovely, our brother, Tavon, the builder.
Straight up and down like 6 o'clock, baby.
6 o'clock, baby. Why? We love y'all. Be safe. Peace out.
expressed on the Silverback Chronicles podcast are those of the hosts, producers, and or the guest appearing on the program. They do not reflect the views and opinions of the federal, state, or local government. This includes, but not exclusive to, the Department of Defense, Homeland, and the Baltimore City Police Department. The Silverback Chronicles podcast with Dre, Big H, and Triple C. Hit the subscribe button, like, and comment.